talking about a home, talking about me and you. Things we'll do, I said a home,
talking about a home.
I'm talking about a one night stand. I wanna be your man, I said a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Charleston Home and Outdoor Living Festival, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
It's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. That was Our House by Madness, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home. And in addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which takes place every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which is coming up 3 weekends from now at the Gilliard Center in downtown Charleston. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We'll be talking with Jennings Smith with Allaire Homes. He's a custom builder. Also, Russ Pritchard with Audio Warehouse. Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing. Patrick Stewart and Brian Jordan with Holy City Exteriors and Holy City Shutters. And all four of those guests that I just mentioned, they all are vendors that will be on display at the Charleston Fall Home Show happening August 24th through the 26th at the Gilliard Center in downtown Charleston. And then finally, we'll also be talking with Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston and Fine Rugs of Charleston Outlet Center. Well, this is an exciting time for us at Charleston Home and Design Magazine as we close in on the Charleston Fall Home Show happening 3 weekends from now. Just wanted to give you a quick rundown of some of the things that we've got going on. First of all, free admission on Friday. That's been a mainstay of ours and very, very popular. A lot of people come out for free admission on Friday from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. And then we close the show and then we reopen it for kitchens, baths, and all that jazz, our home show party. And you can, while free admission during the day is free, if you would like to come to our kitchens, baths, and all that jazz home show party, a ticket is required, and they're only $15, and you can buy them at charlestonfallhomeshow.com, charlestonfallhomeshow.com. And that goes from 6 to 9 p.m., and there's live jazz, and then you get to enjoy complimentary beer, wine, and delicious catered food. On Saturday, we've got our $2 after 2 o'clock special admission happening both Saturday and Sunday. And if you come on Saturday after 2 o'clock, the first 200 families to pay that $2 admission will get a Low Country Gourmet gift bag from M.W. Hunter Interiors, located in West Ashley. And then if you come on Sunday and pay that $2 after 2 o'clock admission price, the first 200 families will get a free blue cotton candle. And that's a sweet tea scented candle. It just smells amazing. We've also got Inside the Architect's Mind speaker series, which is we've invited a number of local architects who will be taking you inside architect design projects here in Charleston and giving you insights into each project. We were offering free interior design consultations for homeowners by professional interior designers. So lots and lots going on at the Charleston Fall Home Show. For more information, visit Charleston Fall Home Show. That's charlestonfallhomeshow.com. And now we're talking with custom builder Jennings Smith with Allaire Homes. How are you, Jennings?
Doing great, Tim.
Good. Yeah. Jennings, take a moment and tell everybody about Allaire Homes.
Yeah, so Allaire Homes is a custom home builder and renovation contractor. We've got offices in Somerville, Charleston, and we're opening an office next month in Mount Pleasant. Mm-hmm. So another cool thing is Allaire Homes just opened another office in Greenville. Our had a Cliffs builder very well established up there, and he has decided to join Allaire Homes just like I did about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Talk about Allaire Homes. Allaire Homes has been around for a while now, right?
Allaire Homes has been around for 7-8 years. They started in Canada. They've been in the U.S. for, I think, 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they find high-end qualified contractors in markets that they want to be in. You know, they reach out to them, and if there's a mutual fit there, those two merge. So you convert your mom-and-pop construction company to become Allaire Homes Charleston or Allaire Homes Kiowa or Allaire Homes Myrtle Beach, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever market they're going into. And so what they do is they offer, it's a lot to get into, but they offer a lot that you cannot replicate on your own with transparency, visibility, accountability. And that translates to, I believe, a superior white glove luxury experience for the client.
Well, let's talk about how to choose a builder, and I think that will help to illuminate a lot of people into what Allaire Homes is all about, what makes you folks different from other builders. So, what should someone consider when choosing a builder for that custom home project or remodel project?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think some of it depends on the type of buyer you are, of course, but I've thought through this subject a lot. Like, what is the most logical, reasonable way to go from I want to build a house to moving in? And I think that the best first step is kind of think about the area you want to be in and about the size house you want. Let's say I want 3,000 to 3,500 square foot house. Talk to a few builders before you even go to the architect. Just talk to a few builders and say, what is the ballpark range for this? And they're like, well, Mount Pleasant, maybe you're looking at $1 million, whatever it is. And that gives you a range of, okay, I can afford that. This is what I want to do. Or it tells you, man, I probably should be in the 2,500 to 3,000 square foot range. Then I would say engage your architect. Because you don't want the architect to design a house that's just unaffordable. Mm-hmm. If budget is a concern for you. Some people, it's not. The lucky few. Mm-hmm. But most people care about that. So after you have preliminary drawings, a lot of people, they want to get quotes from builders. And this is where I think it's a mistake. People come to me all the time. They've got either preliminary plans or they've got a plan that even is done, with structurals drawn and everything, which I think is dangerous to go that far with your architect without getting any pricing feedback. But they come to me and they say, Jennings, how much? How much to build this house? And they're going to three or four other builders. And I say, logically, what you're doing is you're giving me a set of plans with very little detail on what you're actually going to put in the house. Like, I can get pretty close on the foundation, the framing, the windows, maybe the roof, maybe the siding, but what are the floors, what are the counters, what are the cabinets, all the interiors, all the stuff that really are cost drivers mm-hmm. in this home. So I'm going to make my guesses. I'm going to control those things and say, well, I'm going to put $20,000 for this, I'm going to put $40,000 for this, and if they go over, they go over, and I want to keep them kind of low because I really want to get the job, and maybe I even mislead the client a little bit to get my foot in the door. And it's too late by the time they uncover what those allowances really get them, and it doesn't match their expectation. Maybe I didn't even intentionally do that, but what's in your head and what's in my head are definitely going to be different. And the only way to do that is to flesh it out and bid it out and say, okay, what kind of cabinets do you want? Do you want soft close, blah, blah, blah? Do you want solid surface countertops? Are you okay with Formica? You want tile? You want glass tile? Price out all these options, or at least spec them out to your builder so that these builders can really give you accurate feedback and you don't get a nasty surprise and go over budget $100,000.
Yeah, and I've heard that that sometimes a builder will put down ridiculously low allowances for certain things like lighting. So they might in the lighting column for their bid, they might have $5,000, and you know, that homeowner is building their dream home, and so they walk into the lighting store and they see that beautiful chandelier and they say, that's what I want on my foyer when people will see when they first walk in our house. And that one chandelier alone is $4,000. And so how are they going to, how's that $5,000 going to cover all of the lighting? And so they end up having to come out of pocket, which is sometimes a big surprise and an unwanted surprise for that homeowner. So what would you suggest? How can a homeowner avoid that, that kind of a surprise and get the most accurate bid from maybe you know, one or more builders?
Well, those surprises, they definitely happen, and this, the thing is the builder doesn't like it either. I remember I used to build with allowances all the time, and I would hate it when the client would go to the cabinet place and I had set up, you know, an allowance of maybe $30,000 and they came back at $40,000 or $38,000 or whatever. And there's just disappointed expectations. So what I do, what I've chosen to do, is I refuse to use allowances. I will not let you go into a build based on fake numbers that no one's verified, that you haven't really selected anything. We're just saying, well, we hope your floors are going to cost $20,000. I mean, let's just get started. We don't do that. We require every client to go through a thorough design and estimation phase. So we have an arm of our company, and we call it design and estimation, where you sign a little contract with us, and it costs money. We charge you just for our time to do this. And we write a thorough scope of work. So this is the tile they want. This is the pattern they want. This is the brand they want. This is the grout lines, the grout color, everything. We get two hard quotes, maybe three hard quotes. We upload them. We tell you, hey, this sub is great. This guy's, you know, he's pretty good and he's a little cheaper. And this guy's the Kiowa quality sub. And you can, what is tile really important to you? Okay, let's go with the Kiowa guy. Or, you know what, pretty good is good enough. Let's go with that guy. You control that price. You control that budget. And we build every single part and piece. So at the end of that, you know what this house is going to cost. And I know what it's going to cost. And I feel confident in the schedule. You're not going to spring a bunch of changes on me. You're not going to be dragging your feet on making your selections and then be mad at me when the bill drags on and the budget drags on. And I know there's a lot of builders listening to me that are nodding their heads and agreeing because they've gone through this pain with clients. And it's really hard to do this design estimation phase. It takes work, but then the build goes smoothly and you know what you're doing. You can take that design estimation packet, you're going to have a layer's price, and you can get a price from another builder, and builder B and C, and you know they're bidding apples to apples on, these are my selections, this is what I want. So we offer that service. I wish we didn't have to do it because it is tedious, but the devil's in the details. If you do not do that, you are putting yourself at risk with your build.
Mm-hmm. And does Allaire Homes share that transparency with your customers?
Absolutely. I think the only way to really build a company is transparently. The only way to build homes is transparently. I renovated my mom's kitchen about 3 years ago, and I thought about, you know, what's the most important thing in this transaction? It's the relationship. She's my mom. So I'm going to do it cost plus. That's what my brain defaulted to because I wanted her to know this is what it's costing. This is what I'm making so that we're all on the same page and I'm your son and we preserve that relationship. I thought, well, with a client, how is that really any different than building it for my mom? I want to treat them with the same respect, the same transparency, value that relationship above the dollars. And the only way to do that is through transparency and having that transparency audited and, I mean, invoices uploaded, you see all the accounting that we see. It's incredible. And that was one thing I definitely could not do without a layer. But that, at a click of a button, a client can log in and see exactly where their budget is, what bills have been paid, how much, if anything's, you know, askew, they know it instantly.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, we're out of time, but how can folks get more information about Allaire Homes?
AllaireHomes.com/Charleston. And our office number is 843-296-8510. AllaireHomes.com.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Jennings Smith with Allaire Homes. Thanks so much, Jennings.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with Russ Pritchard with the Audio Warehouse. How you doing, Russ?
Great.
Good. Russ, take a moment and tell everybody about the Audio Warehouse.
Well, thank you, Tim. The Audio Warehouse was founded in 1984, so we've been here about 33 years in business. When we first started, we sold car audio and home audio. If you wanted a TV, you went to Circuit City or an appliance store.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, we were one of the first audio stores to bring in video and ultimately surround sound, and first to display a flat screen TV back in the day. Over time, we started getting involved. We were probably one of the first people to take my car installer, buy a drill in a van, and ask him to go drill holes in houses. And that was right at the start of the custom home installation, was the term that was commonly used then. As that part of our business grew, we eventually phased out the car audio business and just became home audio, video, and custom installation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that business continued to grow, and the demand for in-home services was really at its infancy at that point. But it was a great business, and we really enjoyed it. And we found our niche in that area. And in about 2000, we closed down the retail storefront, mm-hmm. and focused solely on residential or custom home installation. Mm-hmm. Today, the disciplines are generally referred to as we're system integrators, because we've gone from just doing audio and video systems to now that's just one subset of the disciplines we furnish. We do everything now from home networking, security systems, surveillance, access control, lighting control, motorized shades for management of natural light. In addition to the audiovisual components that all this is tied to, and smart home technologies. And, mm-hmm. and really, smart home technologies is, simply put, is a means of tying a lot of these functions together and either giving them to you in one simple-to-use interface or being able to automate certain things based on your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be as simple as just having lights that create a pathway into your home, come on at dusk, and go off at a set time, your HVAC temperature settings, dropping back normally after you would leave for work during the weekdays, and your heat kicking up an hour before you get home, so you come home to a nice toasty house. So we've seen the business change quite a bit in terms of the industry, and so the dealers have really kind of morphed with that.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we do a large part of our work is new construction, and the fact that we've been in business for over 30 years, we still have a pretty strong market in terms of what we call retro, which is upgrades. Clients who have bought systems, and whether it was new construction or we retrofit those systems into an existing house. So we still have a pretty good business of people wanting to upgrade those systems after time and take mm-hmm. advantage of the latest technology and features.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is it's a good thing you didn't change your name each time your business changed, because you would have about five or six different names by now, right? The Audio Warehouse would be, the next name and the next name and the next name. But I only say that because we've been working together for a long time. When I moved to Charleston in 1990, I worked in radio at 96 Wave, and you were a big radio advertiser. You were promoting a lot of the car audio, like you said, and home audio, and then eventually you kind of stopped advertising that, and have gotten away from having this like a retail storefront. to now you're in a place that is actually kind of, you know, it's easy to find, but it's if you as long as you're looking for it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's,
the business has morphed so much.
Yeah, it's there's an inside joke in the industry that if your name does not reflect what you do, then it tells how long you've been in business.
that's true. That's true. And because when you got into the business, you know, 30 some years ago, you know, it might be a big deal if you were able to maybe run some speaker wire to some of the other rooms throughout your house to be able to listen to, you know, music in different rooms and so forth. And a lot of your customers were, you know, the people who were buying the big subwoofers in their cars and so forth. And now a lot of your customers today are architects and custom builders, right?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, today, you know, we still have a small showroom. But unlike that time where everybody came to us, today we go to our clients, mm-hmm. You know, because everything is a unique fit, whether it be their request or what they're looking for feature-wise or how it's going to be installed. It generally requires us coming to the customer, and that's either for new construction or for existing homes. And one of the most common things that we, you know, come into today is we look at systems and we talk to clients about what they want in terms of new features and new technology. Everything seems to center back to the network now. Mm-hmm. In the day you mentioned wires, and that's one of those common questions is, well, isn't everything going wireless? Do I need to run wires? And you know, my classic response to that is every good wireless system runs on wires. Mm-hmm. So wires still are essential to a good infrastructure and future-proofing your home. But the one thing that we continually see now is that the quality of Wi-Fi in your network is directly related to the experience that you're going to have with almost all new technology. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the common things that we talk to clients about up front as they come talk to us about, you know, whether they want Sonos or they want a music system or they're putting in surround sound. Or they want some of the smart home technologies, one of the things we always have to look at is the quality of that Wi-Fi that exists in that space, because mm-hmm. That will impact how these systems operate.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. What are you seeing when you sit down with a customer who might be building a new house or might be in an existing home and they just want to upgrade their system, or maybe they don't have any system at all? What are some of the key components that people are asking for, the disciplines, as you say?
Well, typically when we sit down with a new customer, you know, part of our job is to educate the clients on what is new, what are the trends, what is available. But we typically break things down into, we start with what we call the essentials. And there's three things that go into virtually every house and people want or need. One is security. Virtually every house gets some form of security. Typically, we start with what we call intrusion, which would be door contacts, motion detectors, things that would protect the home and its occupants. And then we get into life safety and environmental controls, such as monitored smoke detectors, heat, CO sensors. And then what's growing out there in popularity is water protection. You now have the ability to tie in your systems, sensors that you put in locations like what I call wet appliances, ice machines, dishwashers, washing machines, where you have a potential of a leak, that when these devices sense water, it actually shuts the water valve off to the house and will notify you via text message or email. The cameras have become very popular. And probably one of the things we commonly get asked for now, and they do a great commercial for it, but Ring.com, Skybell, mm-hmm. are probably the two most popular that you see on the market, to where now that when somebody rings your doorbell, the app opens up on your phone and you see who's at the door, whether you're at home or away, and you have the choice of talking to them or not, and then you can, you know, add to that with electronic locks where you can hit a button and let them in the house. Mm-hmm. So we see that the security business has really done a good job of driving some of the smart home technologies that we see so popular today. And then from security, we talked about Wi-Fi and networking. That's probably the shortest conversation because it's, yes, I want Wi-Fi everywhere, and I want as much as you can give me, as fast as you can give me, end of discussion. But that has become the expectation now, is that, that people want Wi-Fi in all spaces, public spaces, inside and out. And it's not just the parents, it's the kids, it's the entire family that are driving that. And then the third component that's an essential is the wiring, is the infrastructure in the house. You know, you have to plan for wiring to accommodate, you know, TV locations, wireless access points to give you that, that coverage of Wi-Fi that you're looking for. And I think one of the things right now that it, that people should be really aware of is that, you know, HDTV has driven a lot of this technology, and over the years where you had just a coax cable come into a cable box, then we started distributing HD over component video cables, then that gave way to HDMI cables. Well, I think HDMI is here to stay for a while, but what's changing are the standards of HDMI that to pass 4K resolution, which is coming. We already see some 4K content available. You're seeing 4K ready TVs. You now have 4K DVD players that have hit the market. But one of the things that people need to be aware of is that to get true 4K resolution, the wiring that's in homes today might not be compatible or may require some hardware changes to deliver that content from point A to point B. But you know, we've called this structured wiring for many years, but this is something that we caution clients because, again, back to that most common question, isn't everything going wireless? Well, a lot of things are going wireless. Yes, this is true. But some things are going to remain wired, especially in the near term, and they're going to perform better over wired. So you need a balance of both to be successful in making your home future-proof, and not just future-proof, but even taking advantage of some of the things that are available today.
We could spend a whole hour on just talking with you, Russ, about some of the trends and so forth, but unfortunately we are out of time. But how can folks get more information about the Audio Warehouse?
So you can go to our website at theaudiowarehouse.com, and that's like the, T-H-E, audiowarehouse.com, or give us a call at 843-571-0535.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Russ Pritchard with the Audio Warehouse. Thanks so much, Russ.
Thank you, Tim.
And now we're talking with Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing very well, Tim.
Good, good. Rick, take a moment and tell everybody about Carolina Machine Finishing.
Carolina Machine Finishing, the name's a little bit misleading. We get phone calls all the time, Tim, people thinking that we rebuild engines and cars. And that is not our focal point, so it's not what we do. We actually pre-prime, pre-finish, and pre-stain building materials, primarily siding, exterior trim, but also interior trim, and we do interior flooring. So we run it through a machine in a horizontal plane, coated on all six sides to prevent moisture infiltration. The second leading cause of wood failure is moisture infiltration, and that's what we target primarily.
Gotcha. What does Carolina Machine Finishing coat the wood material with?
It can be everything from a clear polyurethane varnish type finish, and then when you move up the opacity level, we do semi-transparent stains, we do semi-solid stains, and we do full solid stains, we do full primers and paints, solvent base and water base coatings. So the objective is to get the material through a machine and then coat it on all four sides, both ends. We like to call that all six sides.
Gotcha. And I've seen the machine that feeds the boards that are coated at Carolina Machine Finishing. I want to try to paint a picture for our listeners so they can figure it out. So you've got rollers, right?
Correct.
And you know, picture a piece of siding of say fiber cement siding. So it's sitting on those rollers, and it's being fed into the machine, which was where you get the name Carolina Machine Finishing. And as it goes through the machine, kind of describe what's happening to that board?
Great question. So as it goes through in the flat plane, instead of vertical the way it would be on the siding, right. So on the side of a house, it's going through in a flat plane. So as it goes through that first conveyor belt and it hits a wall of paint, stain, primer, whatever that is, that coating, and we put a lot of coating on the board. There's a waterfall that hits the backside, two waterfalls that hit the top side, and literally the amount of coating we put on is about as thick as an average person's little finger. So it's a very thick layer of coating. Then it goes through a set of pressure sensitive rollers. They're a rubber roller with small teeth on it that begin to press that coating into any surface pores that there are, making sure that every fiber is fully coated. Then it goes through a series of brushes, horizontal brushes and vertical brushes, that cut the excess coating off. So at the end, when it passes the last set of brushes, you've got 6 mil wet film thickness on there, which dries to about 2 mil dry film, which is about four times more than a painter can put on in the field in the vertical plane.
Very good. Now we're going to talk about the fun stuff, which is how Carolina Machine Finishing makes people's lives easier. Because if you have your siding, if you have your decking, what other kinds of building materials does Carolina Machine Finishing
make? Siding, decking, finish, fencing, porch railings, porch columns, anything that's going to go on the house, particularly on the exterior. Forest Products Laboratory says the number one leading cause, most damaging effect, climactic effect on wood is ultraviolet light. Mm-hmm. So if it sits exposed to ultraviolet light, then wood begins to deteriorate. And consequently, coatings, which are designed for protection, begin to have less ability to stick to the board. Second leading cause is moisture infiltration. So by us running it through a machine, coating it on all six sides, we protect the wood before it ever gets to the job site, forever seeing direct ultraviolet light, and because it's sealed on all six sides, it has no way for moisture to infiltrate it. So the end result, what makes it easier for a homeowner, it shows up looking good from day one, which that's just an aesthetic value because we can do any color they want. But the fact that we've already coated, protected the material so it doesn't, it's not exposed to UV light, it's not exposed to moisture, that piece of material is going to last substantially longer. We don't even know how much longer. I see them coming through your home and design shows. And now we, with that almost 20 years of this, we see people coming through now telling us they put it on 8 years ago, 12 years ago, 14 years ago, and love it because it's made their life easy. It reduced the number of coats that a painter has to put on in the field. They still have to do a field coat. It reduced that, gave them instant curb appeal and incredible longevity.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly, and you know, the other option is to have the raw building materials delivered to the job site. We've all passed by a job site before in the pouring rain, and we see the wood just sitting out there, absorbing you know, the rainwater. So you could have a painter that is painting the materials in the field. Or you could have Carolina Machine Finishing pre-coat all of those materials and have them delivered to the job site already painted, and then the carpenters will install those materials, and then the painter comes by and puts one finish coat.
Correct. Before all the
caulks it and so forth.
That's correct. And before all the painters turn off the radio right now, we tell them to keep your radio on for just a second. We're not a painter's enemy. Uh-huh. We're a painter's friend, because when a painter is called to a job site by a builder and asked to paint the job in place, the painter is limited. It's not his fault. All he can paint is what's exposed, and he can only paint it in the plane that he's given, which is a vertical plane. He's limited by gravity, how much he can put on there, and he's limited by exposure, what he can see. By us doing the first coat or first and second coats in the factory, we can do all six sides, and then there's no way to get it to the house technically finished. It's still going to go through a chop saw table. It's got to go through pump jacks. It's got to make it up there and be handled. Mm-hmm. The painter comes in at that point in time, caulks it, does all of his finish work, and then puts one final coat on, and now the paint job is warranted for 25 years. Mm-hmm.
Right, and we use Carolina Machine Finishing when we built our house about 9 years ago or so, and We just had the trim repainted, and we didn't have to paint the siding, which is the, you know, the biggest part of a paint job. We had the trim because we hadn't done a good job of hiring a pressure washer, you know, periodically. Got a little mildew on the trim, the white trim, but the siding, just, it looks like it was painted yesterday. And that to me is a big deal, because everyone is looking to make their lives easier, less complicated, and we all, you know, we all have budgets, whether, you know, we have big budgets or small budgets, we all have budgets, and who wants to have to pay for something that you already paid for? And painting is one of those things, especially here in the Low Country, you have to do it on a regular basis. But I don't even know when we're going to have to repaint our house. I mean, it's pretty soon. It's going to be a 10-year anniversary, and it looks great. I've no, you know, and you say you talk to a lot of customers at the home shows who tell you the same thing.
They come through repeatedly, and it's now the most comforting thing. Now you're not selling something that we were selling 20 years ago, but having confidence that what we were selling was the best system available. Now we're getting the benefit of having those people come through, and a lot of times they'll stand at our booth and tell other, mm-hmm. you know, potential customers the value and benefit of it. So it really is a way you get more for less money, because if somebody would do the evaluation of what they pay for our service, it's a fraction of what you pay for a field coating. So you really do get more.
You spend less on hiring a painter and spend less on the overall paint budget that you would normally spend if you had someone painted in the field.
That's exactly right. So there's a savings up front, because it does cost less than having the multiple coats put on in the field. And then the frequency of repaint is a secondary cost mm-hmm. savings, because sure. everybody's looking for maintenance free.
Right.
It's what we talk about. When you talk about maintenance free, the first thought that people go to is the exterior siding and trim. How often am I going to have to paint my house? Mm-hmm. That's the biggest, you know, maintenance expense, really. It's not cleaning your carpets or cleaning inside of your home. It's that exterior paint job. So when you can make that last 3 to 4 times longer than it should have, that's a savings. That's money in their pocket up front, and a money in their pocket in the long run.
Exactly, and we even took a step further and consulted with Rick at Carolina Machine Finishing, and there's a if you flip over a paint swatch that you pick up in a paint store, there's a number on the back of it, and that represents the light reflective value.
You got it, Tim.
And we wanted something that wasn't like, what are some of the colors that will fade fastest?
Yeah, because we know that the light reflective value is black, which has zero light reflection, so it absorbs 100% of the light, gets hotter, so that's going to an LRV, light reflective mm-hmm. value of 0. Mm-hmm. White would have an LRV, light reflective value of 100. Mm-hmm. If you want to pick a paint job that's going to last the longest, you want to stay in the higher range of paint selections. So you really don't want to dip below a 75. Mm-hmm. So that's going to limit your color choice. So you can still do blues, greens, reds, yellows, the variation of colors, but they're going to be lighter colors. Mm-hmm. The darker you go, the more you're going to have to paint your house due to fade. And there's no way, even at Carolina Machine Finishing, we can do anything to control that, because black is black. It gets so hot and it's going to fade. It won't peel off. We guarantee it. It'll last for 25 years. It just may look a little worn. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, how can folks get more information about Carolina Machine Finishing?
Tim, they can look us up on the web at carolinamachinefinishing.com or cmfprefinish.com. Call our office at 843-760-0029, and they can see our ads in Charleston Home and Design Magazine.
Very good. Well, we have been talking with Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thanks, Tim.
And now we're talking with Patrick Stewart and Brian Jordan with Holy City Exteriors and Holy City Shutters. How are you folks doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, good.
Thanks for having us.
Sure. Take a moment and tell everybody about Holy City Exteriors and Holy City Shutters.
Well, Holy City Exteriors is the parent company. We initially started around 3 years ago. We primarily have been working in the new home market. We've recently branched out and started doing some remodels and some roofing, as well as, you know, sunroom additions, screen port additions, whatnot. And we kind of started the shutter company out of necessity. We found that it was very difficult to get shutters in a timely manner and a quality product, so we started producing shutters in 17, and really excited about the future with the shutter company and the exterior company.
Good deal. Well, let's talk about the what kinds of services does the exterior side of the business, Holy City Exteriors, offer?
We do anything from screen porch additions to full tear-off resides and everything in between.
Okay. So let's talk about, like, resides. Who may need their house to be resided?
Just about anyone in the climate we have in Charleston. Got a old wood shiplap siding or vinyl and you want an upgrade, or if you have some moisture issues that have been caused over the years, then we can come out and ascertain what we need to as far as what we can do to help you out with the new siding. There's several options available.
How would they know that maybe it's the siding that maybe is causing a problem? Like, what kinds of telltale signs will they notice?
A lot of times you'll see, you know, moisture issues in and around windows. A lot of times you'll be able to tell by, you know, if the wood is soft, obviously you've got some sort of moisture and rot. And overall, just the general appearance. Obviously, wood doesn't hold paint as well as fiber cement, and, you know, vinyl fades. So it's pretty easy to spot.
What about a lot of the older homes have got that asbestos siding on the house? Do you guys usually take that off, or you go right over the top of it?
Both are an option. It depends on how, you know, what kind of shape it's in. If you have to remove it, then that's an additional task that has to be done by an abatement team, obviously, which we have access to. So typically we try to go over it to not disturb it, but it can be done either way.
Gotcha. And what kinds of siding are people asking for as far as, like, new construction and also remodeling?
New construction, you see, you know, the common names, Hardy Plank, obviously, Allura, some Nichiha is your main three fiber cement products. And in vinyl, I mean, you're looking at, you know, everything from CertainTeed to Royal Mastic. There's higher end vinyls, obviously, out there, rather than your construction grade. Color Plus is big now because obviously people in this climate, you know, have to paint more often than some in more mild climates. And this is a product where it comes completely 100% finished grade product, so it's paint ready to go.
I remember when I many years ago when I built a garage, had a garage built. They were installing the siding, and I got to talking with the contractor that was there, and he was saying that he's worked for people who have said you need to put that cement siding. Every joint needs to be very, very tight. And he knew that was not the right way to install. So there's right ways to install, and there's incorrect ways, right?
That's absolutely right. We work very closely, just about every lot that we walk with a James Hardy regional installation manager. We have a program called FTQ 360 that we utilize through James Hardy. So FTQ 360 is a program that we utilize with James Hardy that has a very, very fundamental checklist of beginning to end and everything involved, their installation guidelines and practices, and we use that on job sites.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. How did you both get started with Holy City Exteriors and Holy City Shutters?
I've actually been in the construction business my entire life, in and around. My family was cabinet makers, and my father owned the first vinyl siding company in my hometown in the upstate. So I've been around it, and Patrick and I actually met in college, and I brought him on last year as we were growing to be my right-hand man. So.
Gotcha. So you've had that experience working for others, maybe making any mistakes that you need to be making. Now you're on your own.
Yeah, it's fun and stressful at the same time. We're, you know, growing really fast, and we're very excited about what the future holds.
What's I know the market's red hot right now. If somebody called Holy City Exteriors and Holy City Shutters and had a project, how quickly would you be able to get to them?
Yeah, it depends on the project. If it's a tear-off reside, something like that, we're probably, you know, within a month. Shutters are turning around in 3 to 4 weeks. So we're not that far out.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the shutters side of things. We've got hurricane season is fast approaching, and but not everybody needs impact-rated shutters for their home. Holy City Shutters sells both types?
Yeah, correct, yeah. We sell aluminum shutters that are rated, and we sell aluminum that are unrated. Obviously, the unrated are a little more price conscious. We do the composite that we build out of right now is an unrated, specifically decorative, but they are functional.
And I've noticed, it seems like they're putting houses very, very close to each other, maybe 6 feet apart. People want their privacy, and maybe a set of Bahama shutters can on the porch can really help to give you that privacy.
We see a lot of that. There's several neighborhoods that we're doing just about every porch because of that very reason. Just the distance in between is not enough. Also, you get a shade factor involved with it, and aesthetically, it's just beautiful to look at when you're sitting out and having some sweet tea at the end of a long day.
Mm-hmm. What's the most popular style of shutters that Holy City Shutters is selling these days?
We sell mostly what we're selling is large Bahamas, and obviously we offer every color in the Sherwin-Williams color palette, so you can get them in any size, shape. You can get, a lot of people are ordering just half shutters for their privacy. So, just down to the caps of the railing. So you have a little more airflow. Mm-hmm. And then there's people on slab homes that are putting them on, all three sides of their porches for complete privacy.
Mm-hmm. Back to the Holy City exterior side of things, waterproofing your home. That's what you want to keep the water out. Are there any tricks of the trade that you folks employ to make sure that that house is waterproof and airtight?
Yeah, we follow all of our product guidelines. Anything from wrapping a house, we absolutely follow every guideline there. Which was house wrap. We also make sure that everything's taped up as we go. As he said, follow Hardy installation guidelines or Allura guidelines, whichever company we're using. And, it's important to get guidance from the manufacturer. And Patrick mentioned, we work very closely with both the Allura reps and the Hardy reps to ensure that we're doing it above and beyond.
Well, good deal. Well, how can folks get more information about Holy City Exteriors and Holy City Shutters?
They can give us a call at our office at 843-789-4123, or they can send in a request for an inquiry to have us come out and just take a look for them. Our exteriors website is holycityexteriors.com, shutter company is holycityshuttercompany.com, and you can contact me directly, 843-647-8807, and usually I can get out within a day or two.
All right, great. Well, we've been talking with Patrick Stewart and Brian Jordan with Holy City Exteriors and Holy City Shutters. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston. How are you, Rhiannon?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Rhiannon, take a moment and tell everybody about Fine Rugs of Charleston and also the Fine Rugs of Charleston Outlet Center.
Yeah, so our main showroom is located at 1523 Meeting Street on the Upper Peninsula. We also have an outlet store located at 3032 West Montague, just outside the Tanger Outlets. We offer a wide variety of high-end area rugs. We also work with installed broadloom goods. And then our outlet store handles a varied price point and materiality in the offerings up there.
Outlet store usually implies that you're going to get a better deal.
Yeah. So not to discredit the beautiful pieces we have, at our main location, but we move a lot of inventory and rug styles, as we know, change pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So we're able to offer some great deals to our customers as things kind of work through the channels there. We've got some great pricing. And like I said, everything from hand-knotted rugs to machine-made pieces to kind of meet any family's budget or durability needs. Mm.
What's the difference between the rugs that Fine Rugs of Charleston sells and Fine Rugs of Charleston's outlet center versus the rugs that you might find in a big box store? Or even occasionally you see these tents pop up on the side of the road and they're doing some big rug sale and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so when you go to a big box store like a Lowe's or a Walmart, most often you're going to find machine-made pieces. They will be – there's nothing wrong with those rugs, but they won't stand the test of time like a fine hand-knotted piece would. Also, they usually tend to be very generic. Mm-hmm. We pride ourselves in the fact that we have very special pieces, pieces that tell a story, pieces that are antique or vintage, kind of have worked their way through many families or years and things like that. So, you know, the main difference, I would say, could be quality, mm-hmm. could be the materials used. You know, you're not going to find silk pieces at a big box store. And then, you know, we have things that are a little more innovative as well. As trends change or different fibers kind of come into the marketplace, we usually have pieces that'll coincide with kind of the flooring trends of today.
Mm-hmm. So you, it's kind of like the old you get what you pay for kind of thing.
I would have to agree with that.
If you buy a rug, a machine-made rug in one of the big box stores, it's you plan on it being disposable at some point.
Definitely. Whereas, you know, the shelf life of something like that, it might last you 5 years mm-hmm. at the most. Oftentimes within a few years, it kind of starts to wear down and mm-hmm. just not look as nice as it once did. You know, with wool rugs, like I'd mentioned, they're durable, they're cleanable, and if you're good to your wool, it could last for hundreds of years. So, yeah, kind of buy nice or buy twice.
There you go. I like that. I was going to ask you because that might be a concern. You know, if people have children, they might love the look of these beautiful quality rugs from Fine Rugs of Charleston, but they worry, what if I spill something on it? How do you deal with that kind of thing?
That is probably the question we get asked most often. We realize each customer has a very different lifestyle. I'm noticing most recently the consumer is a little bit younger, a family that might be starting out or their kids are kind of at the age of sports and, you know, muddy shoes running mm-hmm. in and out of the house. So durability and cleanability is always top of the question list for the husbands and wives. Yeah. So the majority of wool rugs and even some synthetics can be treated at home with like a spot treatment or even a carpet cleaner. The wool rugs, though, we often will have them serviced every so often. I wouldn't say you have to do it every few months, but at least once every 1 to 2 years. There are services that will come out and literally deep clean the entire rug, be able to soak it through, re-dry it, and the wool is so resilient it kind of springs back to life and just looks as good as ever mm-hmm. after your
service. What about, you know, cleaning up after your kids is one thing, but what about like pet stains?
Pet stains is another one. There's certain fibers that we tell folks to stay away from if it's a concern that their pet might not treat it as nicely as mm-hmm. they hope. You know, things like sisal and seagrass can be a little temperamental to, you know, mm-hmm. dog urine mm-hmm. and things of that nature. But with the wool, if you can get to it pretty quickly after it happens, it's able to be cleaned on spot. And then again, if it's something that kind of leaves a surface blemish, you can always kind of do a deeper cleaning with the service. Like mm-hmm. We use Charleston Rug Spa mm-hmm. and they're able to really treat the majority of things that we offer to our consumer.
Mm-hmm. If someone's serious about redoing a room or, you know, if they've got family coming for the holidays, and they're ready to make an investment in a beautiful area rug. I've always been told that like if you're redoing a room, buy the rug first and then choose your paint colors in that room based on the colors in that rug rather than doing it in reverse and then trying to match the rug to the colors of the room.
It can be a little tricky if you do the work backwards. I'd say it's, when I'm working with customers, pretty 50-50. Some people do start with a rug. What's great about that is with hand-knotted pieces especially, the way that they're finished and the way that the light hits them, it can be very different from direction to direction. So sometimes folks will come in and say, oh, I need a blue rug. Well, what they actually need is slightly blue-green or, you know, something just a little different. So I love when folks come in and kind of start on the ground and work their way up. It's definitely a great way to work in your fabrics without kind of limiting yourself. or feeling like at the end of your project, you just kind of have to go with something simple and neutral. Mm-hmm. You know, rugs, they can definitely tell a great story. I look at them as art. Mm-hmm. They're a handcrafted product, passed down from old traditions. So again, it's a great investment. It can tell a story. It can serve a purpose mm-hmm. and kind of last the test of time.
What advice would you give a friend if they were to go rug shopping? I mean, what should people be looking for or asking about? How do they know that they're not going to get ripped off?
Definitely. Some definite things to look at are when you flip a rug over and look at the back, you can tell pretty immediately whether it's something that's been machine made or hand. A machine made rug's definitely not going to be as pliable and movable. It'll feel a little rougher to the touch on the surface. A main thing that I suggest to folks is know what rug size you need. Mm-hmm. Sometimes folks will just, I don't know, maybe they know a size that a rug is offered in and they kind of go to the default, but you're definitely going to want to cover the ground you need to cover. Mm-hmm. You don't want furniture causing tripping hazards where you're wobbling on and off by sitting on a chair. Dining rooms especially can be tricky in that regard. So definitely know what you're buying, whether it's machine or handmade. And then, like I said, be sure to get the size that best meets your needs for mm-hmm. the space you're using.
Maybe measure your room before you
Definitely.
You go out.
Measurements are most helpful. Even if you have no idea what rug size you need, based off the size of your room and what kind of space it is, we can usually help you find the right way to go. Mm-hmm.
And I've been stopping into your outlet center on Montague Avenue and talking to Tim over there. And mm-hmm. I keep telling him we got a puppy in April, and as soon as he's trained, you're on our list. But what has struck me is when looking through some of the rugs, you don't see like your typical oriental looking rug in there. Like there's some with geometric shapes and just different colors. Almost looks like an abstract painting, some of these rugs. They're really, really beautiful.
Yeah, I'm noticing now that, you know, the rugs that we probably were more familiar with, oriental rugs, you know, of yesteryear, they definitely tend to be darker, kind of heavier patterned, bordered pieces. I don't know if it's driven by today's consumer, that they're verging into the contemporary styles, or just the fact that the contemporary pieces can kind of lend to change. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely seeing a lot of lighter colors, brighter colors, abstract patterns and geometrics. It's just a nice way to kind of implement something different while, mm-hmm. you know, still having a nice quality, beautifully crafted.
Right. Well, if you want your house to look like $1 million, you definitely want to visit Fine Rugs of Charleston and Fine Rugs of Charleston Outlet Center. And how can folks get more information about Fine Rugs of Charleston?
So both stores have a website, finerugsoutlet.com and also finerugsofcharleston.com. On the Fine Rugs website, we do have a tab with our personal collection of rugs. They're very beautiful pieces, priced attractively, and offered in various sizes. So you can look at those on the website and see samples of them in the store. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, we have been talking with Rhiannon Esposito with Fine Rugs of Charleston and the Fine Rugs of Charleston Outlet Center. Thanks for
talking about a home, talking about a home, talking about me and you, things we'll do or say to home, talking about a home, not talking about a one night stand. I want to be your man, I say to home, yeah.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.